Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're now streaming not only on the Odyssey app, which is free to download, free to listen. You can also stream us live anywhere, anytime on the iHeartRadio app, as well as the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It is going great, my man. My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday on the program. He is the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, the VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate Show, which will resume here in the next couple of weeks. Also, a reminder that VSiN's annual college football betting guide is available now, so go over to vsin.com for all information. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at @1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, sir. I just want to let everyone know that was not my Venmos that you are looking at right now. I lock all my Venmo transactions. Just want to point that out to people.
So you're hiding stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So we will, of course, discuss that story to begin with.
Some stuff I might be hiding.
That's a good point. Yeah. There's a lot of fantasy football pools that could be tied into there. So that, of course, the story of the day. John Mateer is having to vehemently defend his honor against charges of sports gambling because that's what Venmo posts were tagged. We'll discuss that, whether or not he's in actual, whether he's in any actual jeopardy, whatnot. I think we're probably going to come down on the same spot there. But we also did get the AP poll yesterday. Tim, I also did a little bit of research before the show to discuss the difference between this year's and last year's AP and coaches polls. This year, a little bit more volatility. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what that might be. Alabama's named a starting quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks, Mike Sando, he releases the Athletic's quarterback tiers ranking. He is going to join the program in about 30 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on that. And I know, Tim, you had him on your show last night, unbeknownst to me until this morning, but
he's making the rounds, as he should. It's a great column. It's one of my favorite reads every year. And to be honest, I asked him off air not to promote someone else's product, but I always enjoy when he does this exercise with Ryan Russillo. I think it's a really good listen. So I'm looking forward to talking to Mike again and maybe a little bit differently.
To me, it is the least offensive quarterback list of the year.
It is because,
and I understand he is largely compiling other information. I understand that, but at the same time,
I think it's the most informative.
Yeah.
Because you're getting, I have the list right here. 6 general managers, 6 assistant general managers, 6 ex general managers, 5 other executives, 8 head coaches, 15 coordinators, and 4 other coaches. Like, Say what you will about all the lists that we compile and hear about all offseason. This list is coming from people who are inside the league, and it's not just all coaches. I think that's what makes it so interesting. And it's surprising, too, when I think you look at the list, Jeffrey, and you see, like, oh, interesting. They're not that high on this guy. Or yep. I thought this guy would be tier one, and he's not. And I think, to me, and we could talk to Mike about it, but the one that jumped out to me the most, and it made some sense, is Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Comes in T9, tier two.
I think Jalen's about where, if you take out emotion of it, I think that's about where I would rank him.
I thought 12 of these guys, and once again, they know ball better than I know ball. I just sit on my couch like a jabroni, but I was surprised that...
Sometimes that's not necessarily the case. Don't make the mistake of just because somebody has your dream job, believing that person's special.
True. But I thought 12 of the 50 folks putting him third tier was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, so we'll discuss that with him if there were any some big surprises with Mike, because obviously this is a quarterback friendly zone, particularly the discussion. So looking forward to having Mike on the program. We'll get into the list at 3 o'clock. God, Tim, I hate that it happened again, but somebody around Shohei is losing a bunch of money.
It's a good thing he's really good at baseball.
Also, he needs to be studied for the support system. Here's how, boys, you do risky stuff and never take the fall. So we'll discuss that and more. Tom Brady has made some comments about today's quarterbacks, so we'll discuss that. We have the Taylor Swift debut on the New Heights podcast, big legal win in Tim's adopted home state for John Gruden. We'll get into all that. Then we'll say goodbye to Tim. Marquee, the Tribal King Jones is going to join the program. He's got a big fight at Attitude MMA Fights 35. It's the Southland Showdown 3. He's going to join the program during hour number 2 to preview the weekend over at Southland. Big MMA card. You can get your tickets at attitudemma.com. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I guess let's start with the story of the day. Is that how you would define it?
Yeah, Ben Gulbranson's going to be the starter for Stanford.
Yep.
It's quite the journey.
He went 7-1 for Oregon State.
I was there for his one loss, and boy, was it a loss. He started the Sun Bowl against Notre Dame.
That didn't count because Coach was gone then. Yeah. Let me tell you what, this guy with Jonathan Smith covered an insane amount.
Apparently, I'm the Ben Gulbranson super fan because mm-hmm. I will be at his next start. I will be at the Hawaii-Stanford
yes,
game.
Yes, you will.
In,
on a work
days.
Trip, kids.
Work trip. Hey, get those sponsors, boys and girls, and you too can go to Oahu. Yeah.
You can just about do anything if it gets paid for and your company's not the one doing it.
I love, by the way, I'll tell a brief story just on that trip. So we are going out to Hawaii. We'll be doing VSiN Primetime live from the Hawaii press box on Friday, the 22nd.
By the way, we're still at the makeshift stadium, right?
Correct. Yes, correct. We're still there.
So what did they do? They took their soccer field and then, like, it has some stands.
I think it's their practice football field that they've turned into a makeshift stadium now. I believe that the visiting teams have to, like, get dressed at the baseball facility.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of the end zones you kick into a parking garage.
Sounds about right. I will be able to report back there. But yeah, I got approached about, hey, you should come out here. And I was like, okay, sure. And then fortunately, I had some connections with people who have businesses out in Hawaii, and they were interested. And I laid it out to our bosses at Visa, and they were like, sure. Yeah, I mean, if you're bringing in money, why not?
No, the easiest way to do something, kids, lesson learned, as long as you present something to your bosses and you say it's of no cost to you,
yep,
they will generally let you do that.
Yeah, pretty much. And we're making a couple bucks. So, no, excited to be out there. But, no, I don't think that was the headline story you were thinking of.
No, this is – I believe this – did this break last night? I feel like On3 had it, but
– the Mateer stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it broke, I think.
So this felt like something that popped up on Reddit first and then it started to take legs. But this is from David Purdom of ESPN. Oklahoma starting quarterback John Mateer, after screenshots of past references to, quote, sports gambling, end quote, on his Venmo account surfaced online Monday, denied ever being involved with gambling, saying Tuesday it was instead, quote, inside jokes, end quote, with his friends. School officials became aware of the screenshots late Monday night and are looking into the situation, a source told ESPN's Pete Thamel. Mateer posted on X, quote, the allegations that I once participated in sports gambling are false. My previous Venmo descriptions did not accurately portray transactions in question, but were instead inside jokes between me and my friends. I have never bet on sports. I understand the seriousness of the matter, but recognize that, taken out of context, these Venmo descriptions suggest otherwise. I can assure my teammates, coaches, and officials at the NCAA that I'm not engaged in any sports gambling. Okay, so here's my thought. Even if you're inclined to not believe him, I do not know any way that this can actually be proven.
That's why he should deny it.
Now, I also want to be very clear. As someone who maybe once or twice in his life has settled up gambling debts via Venmo, you never put gambling. Ever.
I could go look at... I think I'm allowed to do this, right? Because there may be a friend of mine who helps me out in some things. I put like different funny sayings in my Venmo.
As George pointed out before the show, George pointed this out when him and his roommates in college were sharing a place, and they would, you know, somebody eventually gets the Venmo, like it all goes to the same account because you weren't, George, necessarily paying the landlord, right? You all were paying each other.
Paying each other in one person.
Right, and one person writes the check. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right, so George would say, I would just look up the first three emojis that would come up on his keyboard. Like, I mean, then there were rumors that last night people were scouring the internet looking for Arch's Venmos and like.
Did you see some of those?
His might start with a... thanks for finding my ID.
Yeah, or his might start with you up. I would imagine Arch's. I would imagine many of Arch's DMs are a happy, happy place. This is one of those ones. Like, for instance, I'll use the complete counterexample, and we'll talk about it later. When I read Shohei's description of his gambling and that it was all his interpreter, I did not believe that. When I read that John Mateer is in trouble because on Venmo he wrote sports gambling, that to me is the ultimate, he wasn't gambling. I don't know of anyone that pays on Venmo or pays on anything where you have to disclose the transaction. Tim, it's the same thing. You and I aren't strip club guys, but it's the same thing like when you take out money at the strip club. It's like Hollywood Entertainment, LLC.
Yeah, you've never been to one of those.
No, never. I've told you, I've been. I just hate them.
I know, I don't like them either. But yes, they do. They let you know that, I think they have a sign on their ATMs. Like,
yeah,
this will not come out as...
correct. Your wife won't find out. By the way, like, spoiler alert, they always find out.
Why did you get a surcharge of $25 at the ATM?
What?
I thought they were like $3.
Yeah, how? It was at Harris.
Really,
it was in Harris. It was at the casino.
Really expensive place.
The casino. You know those fees. Oh, they're killer.
I kind of think he gambled. I think he sent $20 to his buddy, and they were sitting there watching. I think it linked up with USC UCLA or something like that.
Correct.
And I think, I'm not saying that he was out there saying that USC was going to cover the point spread. I bet you he was watching with his buddies. They probably had friendly wagers, and there was like a $20, and they were probably joking like, haha, sports gambling. Technically, maybe they were gambling. But to your initial point, whoever within the Oklahoma department or his team said, just deny it. There's no way this is going to link back to you. So just deny it.
All right, so here is what is, according to Purdom at ESPN, screenshots posted online Monday night showed Mateer allegedly twice including, quote, sports gambling, end quote, in memos for transactions on November 20th, 2022, while he was a freshman at Washington State. Both transactions were allegedly made to a Venmo account for Richard Roten, believed to be a teammate at Washington State at the time.
Welcome to the SEC, buddy. If you just stayed at Washington State, your sports gambling Venmo never would have been found.
I mean, to me, though, is it gambling if you sit there and go, hey, man, $20 says they score this drive? Is that the same thing? Is that don't bet? If y'all are sitting around the
technically,
the
yes.
dorm, but that's not like what we're legislating.
That's I know.
That's the worst kind of technically.
Well, because technically I was in breach of being a collegiate athlete with a March Madness pool.
I mean, technically I've been in breach of being a U.S. citizen.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of technicalities
there. Like, what are we going to do here? But like, I do actually think there's some people out there that think he's like in deep doo-doo, and I have yet to see anything that makes me say
no.
He ain't starting week one.
No, I don't. I think this goes to bed and it's kind of funny. You know, I think he did bet. I think he bet on a football game with his buddies. That's my educated guess on the situation. I don't think that he was paying a bookie. I just think, do we know how much it was?
Have you seen George? I have not actually seen like the screenshots.
Neither have I. Let me see if I can't find them.
But I think he was being an idiot because we were all idiots in college. But unfortunately, he's now the starting quarterback for Oklahoma, and some Texas fans probably were like, let's see if we can get him. That, by the way, whoever found this, next level. I mean, you remember the night of the All-Star game when Josh Hader, when we're like, oh, he's got some racist tweets in the history. It was like, scrub your Twitter history.
The only reason why I'll say that one, like that one was definitely like a hoo-hoo. That was also in an era where anytime anyone, we learned about someone becoming famous, the first thing we did was just like look at their Twitter accounts. And then there were like terrible people online that were just like, let's cancel him. Like this to me is next level. Like,
who
this
in the right
kind
mind
of, this person's
like,
kind of a pioneer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that like I'm seeing on the internet. It's like, that's been done before. This one's kind of a new one.
Yeah, I do like the fact that.
And honestly, part of me is wondering what took us so long. It's not like Venmo's that new.
Who else is on Venmo that we can search?
Update. I have found a handful of the alleged screenshots on X, the Everything app.
Mm-hmm. It's all happening on X.
We don't have any actual numbers, but we have the actual captions. One just says sports gambling. Mind you, no punctuation. There's just the automatic capital S. One from Mateer to Roten that says sports gambling in parentheses UCLA versus USC. And then we have one from Richard Roten to John Mateer that says ultra sports gambling FIFA World Cup.
Well, he's allowed to bet on FIFA.
Ultra sports gambling FIFA World Cup.
Maybe from... that's their inside. That's what he said. That's their
Wait,
inside
Wait, is the
joke.
Qatar... Is that 2022?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's been that long?
Yeah, we got another World Cup coming up next summer.
Yeah.
We're hosting it.
Oh, my God. Wow, the years have been unkind. Again.
I just think this is guys being goofy. Like, this is just silly.
Yeah, I also think, like, there is a huge difference to me between betting your friends and then, like...
Oh, of course.
Like, it is so obvious that everyone was in a mad rush to take gambling money, gambling advertising money. We should have set out better parameters.
Also, I think this goes to show, boys and girls, if you're going to use Venmo to pay your bookie, don't use your normal name. Come on now. It's not like Twitter where you can kind of figure it out. I just went in the search function of my Venmo. You have to, like, know the username of that person. So just make it like, I'm totally not John Mateer.
Yeah.
As your Twitter handle, as your Venmo handle.
Not John Mateer.
Give me that sports gambling sweet, sweet money.
Yeah, I to me it's like, all right, here's the rules. I don't care if freshmen are sitting in their dorm betting each other. At all.
No, I don't. I
like,
think
but do I think that you should be able to take the under on your prop bets? Probably not.
Like, it seems like that sets a bad precedent. I mean, do I really want you taking your overs either? No, it's like, it seems pretty clear to me. It's like, all right, you can't bet in a game that you play in. But, like, I do think they're going to have to address, and I think they've even acknowledged, like, I think they're going to have to start letting people bet, like, on games that don't involve them.
Well, they are allowed to bet.
They're allowed to bet other sports.
Games, right? Are they allowed to bet other I think college they're, sports?
I think they are if it's a state and they're of age. To, yeah, I think if you meet the legal qualifications, I think you're now allowed to bet other sports.
But you can't bet your sport.
Correct.
I mean, you know who's just drooling right now is the NCAA. Like, ooh, we can do something where we don't have to do any work? All right, let's see if we can crack down here. I don't think nothing's going to come of this.
I don't think you can prove it.
I don't think you can either.
Because
my
thing is, like, you and I can both be reasonable, and I can sit there and go, he's joking, and you can go, I think he was betting in his room, which is fine. But you see what I'm saying? Like, how do you prove that beyond a reasonable doubt?
You can't. Unless there is proof via a sports book with his name on
right.
the account.
And but that even has to have geolocations and what, like, that's foolproof.
And he was in, is betting legal in Washington? Like, there are some dummies out there that have signed up for DraftKings or FanDuel and made bets, and you can find those.
Yeah, the Iowa State kids were, like, doing it.
Right, they were, like, on DraftKings or one of the
correct
websites.
Yeah, they were on one of the websites, and then one of them's like, well, no, I gave it to my mom. It's like, yeah, no, we located it to your phone.
So I think it's kind of a funny story. I think it's a kid being silly. I also think it's, hey, buddy, you're in a new world now to being out in the SEC. If you were still playing for Wazoo, this doesn't get found, and you're out there doing your thing, playing Oregon State twice this year.
I can't decide if we should celebrate the internet sleuths that, like, find this. Because, like, on the one hand, it is like, all right, it's, you know, that's giving your all for Texas today, or giving your all for the Pokes, whoever it may be. But, like, on the other hand, it's like, man, that's kind of sad that you're, like, wasting this much time doing this.
Hey, Fred, I got a job for you today. What's that? Go put into the Venmo search every starting quarterback in college football and see if anything interesting pops up. Got it.
I don't even think
look at what we have here.
I think it's the classic. It just means more. Like, I think it's just like I think it was. I think it was a self starter. I don't think this was a task. I find this is like the ultimate. Man, we really need like actual games to get here, because this is the other thing I've been noticing. Is it just because of who's playing? But I feel like every single year we are progressively getting more into preseason football is getting treated like regular season football. And I just cannot get there yet. To be clear,
was it week? Let me ask you this. Is it because it was week one? Because I feel like there is that sense of we've all kind of agreed the Hall of Fame game is just get out of my face. But that week one of the preseason, and the fact that, look, Shador playing amped it up and playing well on Friday night, but also seeing Joe Burrow out there just absolutely bawling.
No, here's why I can't take it seriously. Do I watch it? Yes. Like, to answer the question that you had on Friday, like, would I seek out Shador's start? Well, we went to dinner, and to make sure my daughter didn't disturb everybody else in the restaurant, we got the iPad out for her.
Attaboy.
And so it's like, well, she's got the iPad. Dad can get his phone out. And I flipped on NFL Network, and I was like, yeah, this is for, I want to see what he looks like. I want to watch. With that being said, I also acknowledge there's no game plan. Like, this is just a scrimmage. Like, it is televised, and like, it's football. I enjoy seeing it on my screen. But what drives me insane is people are acting like that this is somehow... the same problem I had with Summer League. Back when, like, I was the only degenerate watching this, and it was fine. Like, I didn't make it into too much. But now everybody's viewing it as this is, like, this counts. And that this is... We now have to build everything. Like, we have to have takes around this. It's like, no, this was just, like, background noise.
So I forget if someone put it on Twitter or if it was said on a podcast, but I thought this encapsulated the preseason 1,000,000% perfectly. The guy I like balled out. Hell yeah. Awesome. I'm so smart. The guy I liked stunk. It's just the preseason. The guy I don't like balled out. It's just the preseason. The guy I don't like stunk. Told you, stinks. I'm a genius. I think that encapsulates preseason football pretty much in a nutshell.
Okay, so if this were...
The Shador haters, it's just a preseason, vanilla. The Shador lovers, told you, should have been a first round pick. He's the starter. He's
Nike
the guy.
Ad.
It's probably, and you hear me say this all the time, probably somewhere in the middle. Though should Shador Sanders have been a fifth round pick? I don't think so. Should Dylan Gabriel gone ahead of him by the same organization?
No.
But is he going to be the next Tom Brady? I don't know. It was one preseason game. He looked pretty comfortable, but it was also a preseason game against a vanilla defense.
I guess my point is, if I thought this were contained to draft Twitter, which very much is exactly what you're talking about, draft Twitter becomes the either confirming or it's all draft Twitter is, here was my thoughts on somebody, and I'm either going to shove it down your throat or I'm going to say, like, it's just preseason. The problem is, and honestly, like, I think there's now, I saw Nielsen said like 2.2 million people watched the game.
Of course.
And it was, listen, on a Friday night with nothing going on, it was something to watch. My problem is I'm now seeing everyone jumping the shark on preseason football.
In what regard?
Everyone is now like treating it as if this is like to me, like if Shador did this in week one, I'm way more interested because, hey, they game planned against him. Everybody was going all out. There's just so many variables, and you never know. Like, this is the other thing. Watching the same game, I thought Bryce played better. There's, like, not a whisper of what Bryce Young did.
Of course.
Now, maybe that also, though, is draft
Twitter. There's also not a whisper of what the number one overall pick did.
No, but that one I can kind of understand. Like, the Titans are just such an afterthought. It wasn't on...
So are the Browns!
Yeah, but to me, the key difference is the Titans were not on NFL Network. The Browns were... Like, everybody had that game on a Friday night. Like, it was easier... How many games... Didn't we have, like, 8 preseason games on Saturday? Like,
8 on Saturday, 3 on Friday, and the only game, to your point, on NFL Network was the Browns.
The game. Browns game. So, like, to me, like, that one is... But...
I thought Jackson Dart played
better.
Okay,
it's the same thing. I'm a Giants fan. I also was like, I would much rather see Jackson look good than bad. But, like, I can't make anything out of that. He was going up against the second and third teamers.
Well, I think that's kind of to your point, circling back to Summer League. If your late first round pick is dropping 18 a game, you're like, cool. He probably is going to be a rotational player and maybe average 2 points a game. But if your lottery pick is like when I saw Jan Vesely at Wizards summer practice clanking free throws and missing wide open elbow jumpers, I'm like, that's a problem. And it was a problem. I don't know if I want to make too much about Tyler Shuck's pick six, but you kind of want to see these quarterbacks excel against vanilla defenses. And I'll say this, we said it, I think, on Friday, like, Shador Sanders, if we put him into the class of what he is, which is a fifth round pick, you can argue forever and a day whether he should have been a fifth round pick, but he was a fifth round pick. And here's why I was overall very impressed, because the 2 6th round picks that played on Thursday were god awful.
100%
Riley
agree.
Leonard and Devin Leary.
100% agree. He, at no point did I sit there and go, he doesn't belong.
Right. As a fifth round pick making his first career appearance in the NFL, I thought Shador more than looked the part. And we just talked about Jackson Dart. who made a really good throw, and I think by QBR standards was the best rookie in week one of the preseason.
And this is the other thing. If you want to go real nerd, EPA per dropback of week one of preseason, Shador was like 20th.
Sure. It was a lot of underneaths, even though I thought, you know, his
again, I thought he looked good.
But as a fifth round pick, you're like, damn, that you might have yourself something here. But is he going to be the savior of the franchise? We're way too early in that. Could he be? Yeah, it's certainly possible. Look, I think you make a strong argument the Browns should start him because you're the Browns and you're irrelevant. And what are you going to do? You're going to trot out a 40-year-old and Joe Flacco? Probably. But, like, what does that ultimately do for your franchise? If I'm the owner, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'm like, look, man, we suck. Let's just put the kid out there and maybe have some excitement.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mike Sando is going to tell us why Shador was not number one on the quarterback tier ranking. So we'll discuss that with him next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mike Sando is the senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Hall of Fame voter, PFWA board member, AP Awards voter, QB tiers, which is why he joins us now. You can follow him on X, the Everything app, at Sando NFL. Mike, you have to speak for all of your pollsters. Why is Shador not number one on the tiers list?
Well, he clearly would have been if we had rookies in the poll this year, but we don't put the rookies in, so sorry, he'll just have to go straight from Cleveland to the preseason Hall of Fame in Canton.
Well, he does get a Nike ad out of it, so it's good to see that drop. That didn't feel premature at all, but the thing that I actually did want to ask you, to me, it seems like the tier one is kind of solid. I know Stafford jumps up in there, and honestly, I don't really have that much of a problem with that. But what seems to me the more difficult proposition is, how do you rank like 6 through 18? Did that feel like something that a lot of people struggled with as well?
Well, nobody really thinks of it that way because no one is actually doing a ranking. I'm going through with the 50 and coaches and executives and just asking them, hey, what tier are you going to put this guy in?
Yeah.
And so that's pretty straightforward to do. And then in the end, I just aggregate the results. So no one even knows what the order would be as we go. And so it comes out. I think it looks pretty, you know, pretty solid. I think tier one that you mentioned is pretty self-explanatory with Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, Jackson. And then Stafford's kind of on that border of one to two, and he made it into one just barely. The top of two to me is, you know, Daniels and Herbert, you know, a lot of talent there, you know, super high picks, really promising. Even Goff and Stroud, high picks. Those are the next guys. And then at the bottom part of tier two, it's interesting. I guess Baker Mayfield was highly drafted, but Jalen Hurts not as highly drafted. Prescott not as high. Purdy not as high. Jordan Love a little bit, you know, up there. But maybe the ceiling is perceived to be higher for those guys at the top in tier two.
Do you think – sorry, Tim. I'll, the last one before I'll hand it off to Tim. Do you think what happened to CJ in year two made people a little bit more hesitant to just – put Jaden into tier one, because that's kind of where I'm sitting right now. It's like I'm leaving room for him in tier one, but it's like I kind of want to see him do it again.
Yeah, I don't think that Stroud was a cautionary tale necessarily. I do believe that the voters are that way anyway. You know, I believe I've been doing this since 2014. Justin Herbert, you know, in 2021, coming off his rookie year, was real promising, and he kind of went, you know, high in tier two. And they never made it into tier one yet. You know, CJ Stroud broke his record for the debut in the second season. And then he fell off a little bit. And then Jaden Daniels beat Stroud's record. So I think no one's going to go into tier one right away. I don't even, you know, right away. You'd have to, like, it would have to be so overwhelming. You know, I think everybody does want to see a second year.
Mike Sando joining us here. You know, Mike, this might be nitpicking, but I am curious. You know, Mariano Rivera was the first ever unanimous Hall of Famer to go into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And I've always contended, well, he shouldn't have been the first because there should have been plenty prior to that. My point is, how hard of a grader are the three people who have Josh Allen in tier two and the four people who have Lamar Jackson in tier two?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it really reflects, you know, some people put a super premium on the passing ability and aren't as into the running ability of the quarterbacks. And Burrow and Mahomes, they perceive to be the best, purest passers of the group. But it's, like you said, it's three, four people. And I think one of the ballots, there was he only had two guys in tier one. So, you know, that happens. I just find that happens when you talk to 50 people. You're going to get somebody that a few people are a little different.
Well, about Josh, do you think it's simple as people are struggling with the throwing? Because I'm someone that puts a premium on making throws and honestly making throws from the pocket. But, like, Josh is kind of doing that. And, like, I just wonder if – was it Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox? Who was the fourth down where the tight end kind of could have come back to the football? Like, I just wonder if someone makes that catch. Like, do we talk about – is Josh in a different stratosphere as a passer?
Well, 47 of 50 votes shows he's already in a pretty good stratosphere. I'm with you, though. Look at Lamar Jackson had Mark Andrews drop the ball.
Yeah.
Here's what I think we're looking at. I don't think that whether someone got, you know, three tier two votes, I don't think that's a big gulf from someone getting zero. What I do think is interesting is, you know, Mahomes is so unquestioned as a top guy. And I think that even though he hasn't been putting up the monster years statistically, and I think that'll continue as long as his team's in the Super Bowl and all that. But what would happen into the conversation if, you know, Mahomes just had another, you know, pretty good but not great year statistically, and then maybe what if they didn't, you know, advance in the playoffs, and then Josh Allen won it all, you know, with an MVP type year? I think that would be I think then we'd have a real discussion.
You know, Mike, Jaden Daniels comes in top in tier two, which is saying something because this is year number two. He wasn't eligible for the tiers a year ago. So his maiden voyage in your tiers is number six, which is pretty darn impressive. Compare him to other rookies or other second year quarterbacks that are coming off of big rookie seasons since you've been doing this.
Well, the first one was Justin Herbert in 2021, I think he got, you know, he was on the verge and then hasn't maintained it. He slipped a little bit. And then C.J. Stroud beat his record last year. I think he got 12 Tier 1 votes. He's down to one Tier 1 vote this year. Daniel shattered his record. He had 17 Tier 1 votes. And we'll see. You know, next year I think will be a little bit difficult in some ways because the opposing defenses are going to be much wiser. They're going to have a whole year of tape on him. And so people will be gunning for Jaden Daniels. People will have better plans for him than they had this last year, I think, for sure. And that's the test. Can you, you know, can you advance from here or not?
Who's the most polarizing guy that you got?
It's funny. After it published, I'd say Jalen Hurts. You know, you have a Super Bowl MVP. He's been to a couple Super Bowls, but he's tied for ninth in this thing, and he's behind some guys like Justin Herbert, who really haven't done much with their teams in the postseason. And yet, I think it makes sense. You know, I feel like the cast around Hurts is a big part of the story. And, you know, I think people in the league feel like even this year they took the ball out of his hands a little bit. It was featured the running back. And so, you know, the question is that too low for Hurts, given all that he's accomplished, albeit as part of a team, but nonetheless, Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. Should he be that low? I think he's in a good spot, but I got some pushback on that.
Coming in at 23rd is Caleb Williams. So you've got a bunch of second-year quarterbacks here. Drake May's ahead of him. Bo Nix is ahead of him. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is ahead of him. What was the feedback on Caleb from the 50 folks that you talked to inside the league on Caleb Williams? Because, look, this is a guy that was the number one pick without question. You know, as much as I'm sure Bears fans, Mike, would like to think, oh, we should have picked Jaden Daniels, there was really no debate. It was more of a debate on number two for a little while, right? Drake May versus Jaden Daniels, which now seems like a, you know, understandable, I guess, debate. What did you get from Caleb Williams after year one?
I feel like the questions on him were, you know, a little bit more concerning than you would expect. I think in most cases you could give a rookie a pass on a, you know, shaky or up and down first year, even the number one pick, just based on the situation or whatever. He's got a new coach now, but a lot of people just kept coming back to some concerns they had over him and his ability to process the game quickly. And so, is that something that's going to change and grow? Maybe. It took Josh Allen a while. Taken some other quarterbacks a while, but I felt like there were more question marks than exclamation points with Caleb Williams, and really more question marks with him than there were with Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels.
Do you think quarterback play in 2025 is better than quarterback play, let's say, in 2010?
I think it's completely different. So they asked him to do probably... they probably asked them to do a little less now because of the way defenses have evolved. I think if you go back to 2010, that was when the veteran quarterback at the line of scrimmage, deciphering everything and, you know, making reads and making plays off of what the defense was presenting him. And so you could see Peyton Manning sitting there, the play clock going down, static formation, right? No one moving or not very many people moving.
Not a lot of motion at all.
Yeah, and he's gonna read exactly what the defense is doing expertly, and he's going to make a throw to beat it. Not as practical to do that now because the defenses are way more disguised. So I think what they've done, and then, you know, look, the quarterbacks are younger than they've been too, so you don't have as many 10-year veterans sitting back there who can read everything. And so what's happening now is, there's a whole bunch more motion on offense to try to get the defense to declare something. And then instead of having a sophisticated offensive system where you, you know, decipher and change and make adjustments, now they just get out of the play, right? They don't have answers for everything on defense. And so that can be frustrating for some of the guys who are playing in 2010 to watch, but it's also somewhat necessary, arguably, because, like I said, the defenses don't declare what they're doing. They don't just line up and cover two. Right? And we know it's cover two. They're changing after the snap and doing all kinds of things now to make it harder.
Heck, now they're even checking when the offense checks. I mean, you know what I mean? They might even declare early, and then when they see a particular motion, hey, they'll check to another defense. And so Like, to me, this is kind of all, because I cover high school football as well, and so I'm starting to see it at this level where, you know, everyone comes out, no huddle, get to the line, dummy snap count, look to the sideline. Either you're running it or, you know, or they're, you know, flipping the formation, whatnot. And it feels like everything's schemed up. But I've also wondered if that's made, like, one of the big complaints I feel like with Caleb is he holds on to the ball too long. Well, if you even go up to Saturday football, I feel like all of these guys, because they've all come out of like RPO type offenses and everything has been schemed up for them, it's like they just wait, take the, you know, trying to hit the home run. And I just feel like, maybe they don't know how to just keep it moving like they did 15 years ago. But I don't necessarily know if that's better or worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just different. I think the game has evolved to away from, like I said, systems where you have all the answers to do that. It's really a game of plays now.
Schemes. Yeah. It feels like everything's a scheme thing. Like, scheme up the shot play is what it feels like now.
Yeah. Yep. So it's different. I don't know if it's better or worse. I think a lot of people from back then would say it's worse, but, you know, it's just the reality of the way that it's evolved.
You know, Mike, Aaron Rodgers, for however long you've been doing this, obviously he's been involved in it every single year and was always tier one. Probably years he had 50 out of 50 in tier one. A lot of differing opinions. Were there some folks who still believe that he's got something left in the tank heading to Pittsburgh this year? How big of a discrepancy was there in the folks that you talked about regarding Rodgers?
He got votes in four different tiers, so that, I mean, that's very unusual. Only one.
That's perfect.
But yeah, and I think they're all going to be right at various points in the season. You know, I just don't think he's going to be consistently. It's too much to ask to be consistently excellent at his age, coming off of that injury, and then in a, you know, with a new team where he didn't report till June. He doesn't have familiarity with the receivers. DK Metcalf's kind of an interesting receiver, very emotional. We'll see how that goes. Arthur Smith's pretty high-strung as an offensive coordinator, no history with Rodgers. So I think we'll see some flashes, we'll see some moments, we'll see some good and bad. But I think we're done seeing, you know, just consistently great play from Rodgers like we used to a few years ago.
Are they good enough up front for him to be the version of Aaron Rodgers what they want, which it seems like, hey, we're going to ask him to make, you know, somewhere between 7 and 12 throws a game? Like, are they good enough up front to keep him upright?
I don't know if he's athletic enough to make the first guy miss. I think that a lot of his excellence in dealing with the rush has been just knowing exactly where everything's coming from.
Yeah.
I think he still knows that. I think he'll still know that. I just don't know if he can get out of the way. He couldn't for some of last year.
No, I think that's more than fair. Another guy that I wanted to ask you about, with Dak. Dak's always going to – I mean, A, you're the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That comes with an amount of attention that is unlike anything else in the league. But it also seems to me, based on your findings, that even football people kind of have differing opinions on him. Like, you'll talk to some people that – think, hey, man, they ask him to do a lot. He's pretty good. Is he elite? No, but he's pretty good. And then there's other people that just kind of think, you know, hey, he's like squarely like the 16th or 17th best quarterback. Is that kind of what you found as well?
Yeah. Yep. He's a consistent two with some people giving him threes. And I think there's some fatigue over, you know, year after year not making a dent in the playoffs. He could really use some playoff success because really – 2023, I believe he was second in MVP voting. That's not that long ago. He can play at a pretty high level, but until you make a difference when it matters the most, I think you're going to have a ceiling.
You know, Mike, going back to your top of your tier, so folks who haven't read it, obviously we recommend going over to The Athletic, checking it out, at Sando NFL 2. Mahomes and Burrow both get all 50 votes for tier 1. I want to focus on Burrow, because obviously he comes into the league, he, you know, guides the Bengals to a surprise run to the Super Bowl, and then you think back to last year and had MVP-type numbers, but the defense let him down. What is the discussion regarding Burrow, and how many folks think he is the best quarterback in the NFL in the people that you've talked to?
I think everyone would put Mahomes as the best still. I think some would say that Joe Burrow is the best passer, just the best pure passer of the football. in the NFL. I think a lot of people, probably most, would agree with that. So that's kind of where his niche is. You know, there's been concerns over the years with his durability and, you know, the lack of protection for him. But if he's healthy, people are very high on him, very high on his ability to not just process everything, but put the ball on the money with anticipation, you know, with toughness. And he brings a lot of, you know, kind of personality and leadership and attitude to it as well.
Mike, you're great to join us. Really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That is Mike Sando, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. I want to tell you that the program is brought to you by our good friends at Birdies, and they're offering you a chance to beat the heat in August with discounts to standard rates. You have to book in advance, and it's at the website, golfatbirdies.com. And again, if you want to book any of their three simulators, you can do so throughout the month of August, and you can get discounts. If you got four players or more, 40% off. Three players, 30% off. Twosomes, 20% off. And if you're a single, 10% off standard rates. But again, you got to book your simulator at golfatbirdies.com. Also, during the month of August, you can buy a full membership and receive a six-month practice membership for free. Full details over at the website at golfatbirdies.com. It's located in the South Main District of downtown. It's a great spot if you want to beat the heat and you still want to play a little bit of golf on the simulators. It's great. Also a great spot if you just want to get a drink and catch the game. Great TV selection as well. So go see our friends over at Birdies right there in South Main Street. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. We got the AP poll. I want to talk about a couple of the differences we've seen. Also, and some exciting news from CBS, what they're going to do with the pregame show. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.